Welcome to the Money is Emotional podcast with Christine Lucan, the financial dignity coach. In this podcast, we help you recover a positive and peaceful relationship with your personal finances. We do this by bringing together wise money management with emotional intelligence. Join us for this journey where we navigate our relationship with money as Christine Lucan draws from years of experience and guest experts to help you get to the root of your money issues.
Hello, my friend. Welcome to the Money is Emotional podcast. I am your host, Christine Lucan. Today's episode is Men, Money, and Emotions. I am super excited to welcome today's special guest, my friend, men's empowerment and relationship coach, Kevin Bruce Scott. Kevin is the leader of leaders, a leader of men, and works hard to be an example for men of all walks of life. The motto for the Effortless Alpha Brotherhood he created is honoring individual masculinity. His life-transforming work with men in groups and one-on-one has sparked the Masculine Expansion, an effort to encourage men to lead themselves and their communities with power, honor, discipline, and respect. Welcome, Kevin.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
I am so excited for this conversation. Tell us how you came to do this type of work with men. Were you simply born and raised an emotionally intelligent man?
No, I was not. I don't think many of us, at least in our past 30s anyway, were raised that way. I came to this work when I met my fiance originally. She was into self-development and I was very skeptical, like hugely skeptical of any of the self-development world. I thought it was very woo-woo and people were just being brainwashed all over the place. But I liked her. So I started listening to what she was saying and it all kind of started making sense. But even then, it was probably a year and a half, 2 years before I actually started diving into the self-development and actually went to a self-development event. And there was one event, a relationship retreat that we had gone to, where the men were separated from the women and we were put in groups of three. So it was me, a guy in a business suit. So at this time, I'm just, you know, I'm a retail salesman, you know, not making much money, not living the life I want to, but trying to. So I'm with this, you know, super business guy and this, what I would, I guess I call at the time, he looked like a jock, let's say, you know, jogging pants, like super young, athletic, strong guy. And we're supposed to share our biggest fears. And I'm going, these guys aren't going to do this. I'm going to do it because I'm here to, you know, I'm here to play to win. I'm here to learn. I'm here to, you know, go all out in things I never would normally do. So I'm going to get outside my comfort zone, regardless of what they do. Oddly enough, or probably not oddly at the time, I guess, they completely opened up. And I was absolutely taken aback. I was, holy crap, these guys are like really sharing their truth. This is amazing. At the end of that session, the leader of the session said, if you don't have a men's group in your area, create one. Now, at this time, Melanie and I are digital nomads. We don't have an address. We don't have a home. So in my area is on the internet. Like, all right, I'll create one on the internet. And that's how the Effortless Alpha started. It started with those two guys. Couple other friends of mine. And that's how it started to grow.
That's awesome. Yeah, because I think, well, I should say I know, at least when I was growing up, you know, you and I we're both Gen Xers. Mm-hmm. There's a funny meme where they talk about the different generations and how they think about feelings, you know, and it was like the younger generations were like, your feelings are valid. And, you know, the boomers were like, stuff your feelings. And Gen X is like, wait a minute, you guys have feelings?
that's fairly accurate. It's taken a lot to learn this stuff, to really, and what I like about it, I always said if I was going to go back to school, I would go back for psychology, because I've always been really interested in why people do what they do. And that came from honestly, it probably came from a negative place within me as a young teenager and early 20s guy trying to figure out why my girlfriends at the time acted the way that they did, and not taking any responsibility for myself. But that's really the basis of why I got so curious about this and why I love it. It's like, why do we act the way that we do? And it does come down to thoughts and emotions, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So us Gen Xers have a lot of work to do to figure ourselves out. And it's not in an effort to change somebody else. And I think that's the biggest misconception that people have when they get into self-development, or try to do rather when they get into self-development, is, I mean, I'm here to change someone else's reaction.
Right.
I want someone else to treat me better.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to figure ourselves out first, because there's no one that controls our emotions but us.
Yes, absolutely. And obviously, I've learned that from Melanie and the different programs I've been in with her, and with being in your brand new women's group that kind of gives the inside scoop about what is going on inside of your man's head. You know, it was so interesting. And it was like, oh yes, of course. Like, I change how I show up. And then it's like, I don't have to try to change the other person. I don't have to try to change my husband or my dad or my brother or whatever other man I'm dealing with. I mean, it was just like, I felt like it was magic.
Oh, well, I love that. Yeah, people respond to us. It's so much easier to react to a situation than choose your responses. But when you are the person that chooses their responses, you get a much different reaction from people.
Yes.
And it may not be what you expect a lot of times. I think I actually said that during the program. Expectation is a way to ruin a possibly good time.
Yes. Yes. I wrote that down.
Yes. If we expect a certain result, no matter what the communication is, we're coloring the outcome with that expectation. Even if we don't try to, literally just the being of us in that moment essentially funnels the reaction to something similar to what we expect.
Mm-hmm. Well, and now let's bring money into the equation, right? Because we know that is very emotional. Mm-hmm. And it is one of the top reasons that couples fight. It's one of the top reasons that they get divorced. Mm-hmm. I know that the women who are listening, they want to know what is going on inside men's heads and hearts when it comes to money.
Well, every man is different, hence the Effortless Alpha's motto, honoring individual masculinity. But generally speaking, if there are, you know, if you're not massively well off, just, you know, the general average guy, there's a lot of stress. There's a lot of pressure. There's a lot of feeling of not good enough. If I can't provide everything that you ever desired in your wildest dreams, I'm going to feel like I'm less than, because that's what, you know, society shows as successful supposed to be. I'm supposed to be able to provide you with private jets and vacations around the world and all the diamond rings you can ever possibly afford. And if I don't do that, then I'm a bit less than, and I've got to make it to save my own ego. I got to make it somebody else's fault. And yeah, I'm not willing to communicate any of that.
Yeah. Let's dive in a little bit to that. Could we maybe have an example? I don't know if maybe something from your own life, or if you could anonymously share a story.
Well, from someone in your always share from my own experience. When Melanie and I first met, I was completely almost broke. I mean, I was making maybe $300 a week, $400 a week maximum, and just trying to eke out a living and thinking someday something in the future is going to change for me. Some external circumstance is going to change me, or you know, someone else on a white horse is going to come in and save me financially. But I would always blame, you know, and I was in sales, so I would blame, you know, the time of day that I was working. You know, they put me in this bad shift. I would blame the store that I was working in. This is a crap store. I'm not going to make any money this week. Always coming up with an excuse, even ahead of time, to make up for the fact that I might not make enough money. And again, a lot of this is happening on the inside. Some of it is happening externally when it's known that I didn't make that much money as I wanted to, or as much money as I quote unquote should have. Then I can say it, well, it's the fault of this time of year, people aren't buying. It's the fault of taxes. It's the fault of grocery prices are too expensive now, so people aren't buying it. You know, there's just excuse after excuse after excuse after excuse, instead of saying, you know what, if I changed my approach totally, like if I just swallowed all that pride, I don't need, this was the hardest thing I ever did, and it took me years, and it still gets me periodically. I don't need to be right about this. Even now, just saying it, my body just like tenses up a little bit. It's like, yes, yes, you do need to be right about this. It's like, no. Breathe. I don't need to be right about this.
It's probably not just a man thing, just to let you know.
Virtual. That's a human thing.
So would you say that for men, even more than women, that the self-worth is tied up in how well you're doing financially and how well your income, your career, et cetera?
Yeah, I definitely believe that. Obviously, there will be some women that feel it equally. But just because it's been societal forever, men are supposed to be the providers and bring in money, especially since the Industrial Revolution. Mm-hmm. Anyway, where people right. weren't living off the land and trading their wares. It's been, I go to work to bring in money to provide for the family. And if I'm not doing it at the level of the highest person, I'm not good enough. And again, that may not even be a conscious thought, the I'm not good enough. It's just a feeling. And because we don't understand our feelings very much, it's just a normal part of life. And someone else is making this happen in me.
Right.
My boss. Yeah. The people buying, the, you know, the company I work for, they're not paying me enough. And so I feel bad. So it's their fault.
Mm-hmm.
That's the cycle.
And so let me ask you this question. When, you know, there's a financial situation and, you know, the wife or the girlfriend is trying to talk to the man about it and it's bringing up the feelings, what are the usual reactions? Is it immediately to throw up the defenses and the excuses?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The go-to emotion is anger, because I don't want to feel this way.
Mm.
You're making me feel this way by even asking these questions, by questioning me. You're questioning my integrity. You're questioning my ability. Even though deep down, I may not be doing everything in my power to change the situation.
Yeah.
And still waiting on that external circumstance that's going to happen someday,
mm-hmm.
while blaming everyone else and not showing up as my best self at work, therefore preventing my own promotion.
Yeah.
So yes, immediate defensiveness, and that comes out as anger most of the time, or shutdown, just completely, I don't want to talk about it.
So even if a woman is asking something relative to, when is this bill due?
Mm-hmm.
Or don't we have property taxes coming up next month? What are we going to do?
immediate feeling of shame and guilt. I haven't got the money now. If you're worried about this, I'm not doing my job. I can feel it in my body. I can feel it. Stress, shame, pain. Get it away. I don't want it.
Yeah.
But that's our work to do. And the communication and relationships around money has got to be pristine.
Mm-hmm.
Both partners have to know that they can communicate with each other around money without getting defensive.
Yeah.
And I think that, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that most women would like to be involved more in that, just to know and to be able to support their partners.
Yeah.
Instead of allowing them to continue to feel alone in that, because, you know, we do feel alone. We don't want you to have to help. We'd love some support, but if it's coming from you, it makes it mean I'm less than again. So more of that cycle.
Right.
Whereas if we can just swallow that little piece of pride and go, all right, here's our financial situation. Here's what I'm doing
mm-hmm.
to fix it or to make it better or to whatever. And we can have a communication about spending. We can have a communication about budgets. We can have a communication about, you know, maybe instead of we go on that vacation in, you know, June of this year, we go February next year, we'll have 8 months more to make up the money. And you might be okay with that if you knew the situation. Because we want to hold on to it, because we want to keep it to ourselves, or say it in such a way that doesn't make us look bad at all, because we can't handle that.
Yes.
It's not going to work.
Yeah. Well, I think that's always my challenge when working with couples, is to remind them we're on the same team, first of all. And second of all, because we are on the same team, that both of us should be involved in these conversations, because it's not fair to the man or the woman who is taking the lead on the finances to not have any support from the other person either, because then you get resentment. So I see that with couples as well.
Let me put this in a sports analogy.
Yes.
Since we're on the same team, if one person knows the score and the other person thinks we're way ahead, the other person's not going to try quite as hard. It's like, well, we're way ahead. I don't have to try. I'm just going to sit back, relax, and enjoy the game. I'll watch you play. How's that? And the other one's like, we're down 5 runs. Help!
No, that's true.
Yeah, if we don't communicate that, we're in a hole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then that person waits until things are really horrible, and then they blow up and say, you don't care. You're not involved. Mm-hmm. You're over there spending money. And that other person's like, I thought we were fine.
Wait, we lost? You said we were winning. I didn't say we were winning. I just kind of made it seem like we were winning. Not my fault. I never said that. Well, you kind of did. In your non-communication, if there's no communication, I think everything's going to be fine.
Well, and I think that's a good point. Even a clunky, emotional conversation is better than no conversation.
Agreed.
Between couples, for sure.
Agreed. And especially, you know, you can have these sort of conversations with setting a context ahead of time, saying, we're going to talk about money now. I love you. It might get upsetting. It might get fearful. All kinds of emotions might come out. I just want you to know at the end of this, I love you. And whatever happens, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. Let's go. You know, set that context if you need to.
Yes. Well, I think most people need to.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've never said that.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, when you only have money conversations when things get hard, then no one looks forward to those conversations.
100% right. Because what we're doing is we're associating bad feelings to money.
Yeah.
Right off the hop. And that instantly gets both partners defensive. And in any communication, when one person gets defensive, nobody in the communication gets to be heard anymore. Period.
That's true. That is true.
As soon as defensiveness comes up, the communication is
pretty much over.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I kind of know the answer to this, but why is it emotionally tough for men to have a partner who out earns them? And is there anything that high earning women can do to help the situation and reassure their partner?
Yeah. Yes, 100%. It's the same. It's the exact same thing we've been talking about, the same reasons why men feel less than when their partner out earns them. Because society has said man must earn more. And if man doesn't earn more, then they're not man. Simply put, in the simplest terms. What women can do, the high earning women can do, is really make sure that they honor every part of their partner. Like if they're a stay-at-home dad, if they're doing a lot of work around the house, if they're, you know, that's still masculine energy things. Taking care of, providing. I don't have to necessarily provide all the money. I do need to attempt to provide something. And if I'm not great at providing money, let me provide structure. Let me provide food. Let me provide a home. Let me provide cleanliness. Let me provide in so many different areas. Provide safety for your emotions. One of the things that I have seen in highly successful women within their partnership anyway, come home to a safe and secure place to have their own emotions, whatever, and know that the man isn't going to freak out or make them feel like they're not allowed to have that kind of stuff with them, can really shut down the relationship entirely. So if we can provide that safe space, that's a beautiful, that creates an incredible relationship.
Well, and you're speaking from experience, right? Mm. Because Melanie does out earn you. And I'd love to just hear about kind of the journey and maybe some of the things that you personally kind of went through. And I don't know, maybe are still going through sometimes in that dynamic.
Sometimes. When we first started out, I was the provider. I was the one, you know, making sure that we had necessities as we were traveling. And she started, you know, making the what I call, or we call, the magic money. And I would still always provide necessities, provide. And then it got to a point where I didn't need to do that anymore. But still, within me, I felt that less than. I felt that not good enough. I felt that, you know, it took, I don't know how long, maybe a year or two, honestly, to really come to terms with the fact that, you know, accepting travel, you know, we're going first class to Hawaii. It's like, that's not something I could afford now and still provide everything that we need at home. And so breathe through that, and just because she wanted to give that. She never felt like she was doing anything, you know, out of the ordinary, or that I didn't deserve it, or that we didn't deserve it. It was something that she wanted to do, something we wanted to do, and we could afford it as a we, regardless of who earned it. We've never been in our relationship someone that you earn that and you earn that, and that's, our money is separate. It's like, this, we're a team here. We're a couple. The person that I am, the man that I am behind the scenes, is so important to the work that she does. I'm not saying that, you know, it's because of me that she's super successful. No,
that's behind not every it. Successful woman.
Yeah, right. It's just that without me being who I am, maybe it doesn't take off as fast. maybe she doesn't have the support system at home, that she's got a whole bunch of other things she's got to worry about that I take care of on the daily, that she doesn't have to stress about, so that she can continue to be the magic money. I want to be the foundation upon which her magic can flourish.
Dare to enter the Wealthy Woman Book Club, where answers exist to forbidden questions, where women of all ages and income secretly gather, where knowledge is shared, where possibilities are explored, where women claim their power. Dare to stay a spell in the Wealthy Woman Book Club. In this place, we lift each other up. In this place, we start dreaming again. In this place, we see financial miracles. In this place, we grow through the glory and the failure. In this place, we step into a new identity. Dare to champion the Wealthy Woman Book Club. We're creating a future where women are financially empowered across the globe. We're creating a future where our daughters stand on equal financial footing with our sons. We're creating a future where we purchase with our principles rather than price tags. We're creating a future where we use the power of money for the benefit of people and the planet. Welcome to the Wealthy Woman Book Club. Dare to come in, woman. Come in. Join us at wealthywomanbookclub.com.
So tell us, like, practically, what are some of those things that you do for her?
I wake her up in the morning when she's got her scheduled call with a coffee in hand. I make sure that all the setup is done for the, like, I was 2 minutes late for this because she was switching calls and I had to switch the camera battery for her next call.
We forgive you. No.
But in my life, relationship first.
Yeah.
Always.
Yep. Yeah, I love that.
I will drop something because she's the most important person to me.
Yeah.
And if I'm not her biggest support system, if I'm not her biggest fan, why the heck am I here?
Yeah.
I'll go do the grocery shopping. I love that.
Yeah.
It gets me out. I get to drive by myself to the grocery store. I get to shop by myself. I get to pick out all the little foods that I like and the ones that she likes. And I will come back and I will make the food so that when she's done the call, we've got food ready. You know, these are literally masculine energy things.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is society has tried to show that giving these things is a feminine energy.
Yeah.
But here's what's feminine energy: receiving.
Yes.
Giving is masculine. It's built into our physiology, giving and receiving.
Yes, that is true.
Yes. So if I can, whatever I can give, mm-hmm. I'm in masculine energy in the relationship. What I do notice in these relationships with high power successful women is they're doing a masculine energy thing a lot in their work.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't have a space where they can relax into their feminine with their partner, they're just going to be in masculine energy all day. And if the man wants to be in masculine energy, but isn't doing the giving, they're going to butt heads because he's going to feel like he's less than. He's going to feel like, why do you always do the things? I want to do the things. And we fight.
Mm-hmm.
I will make sure the things are done so that you can relax into your feminine when you're done doing your masculine energy things.
Yeah, I love that. Well, in my past relationship before I met my husband, my ex-fiance was totally fine with me making all the money and him doing nothing. Mm. So I'm not really sure what was broken there, that he did not have that drive to provide, because I basically became his mother.
Well, that's it. I don't know if there was not a drive to provide. I believe that there was a comfort in you being mom.
Yeah.
There's a lot of men will unfortunately fall into that we'll call it a trap, even though it's not intentionally trapping by the
right.
It's just they'll fall into that. Oh, I get to be taken care of like I was when I was a boy. Great. I refuse to grow up. And they can be very comfortable in that and never change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Until when I broke up with him, he found another mommy.
Yeah, it happens. It happens. At some point he might realize that, you know, this is not working for me.
Yeah.
This, you know, in the one thing I realized in all of my failed relationships, there was one single common denominator, and that was me.
You're a very wise man, Kevin Scott.
That's it. That's all. That is a realization we all have to make.
Mm-hmm.
And if we continue to have failed relationships, if you continue to blame the other person, that, you know, it takes a nice big swallowing of pride to start looking inward, saying, why did I do this? Who was I in this relationship? Was I just sitting on my butt and allowing someone else to take care of me? Is that the man that I want to be? If it is and it works, great. Doesn't work, take a look.
Right. Yes. Well, fortunately, I did take a look. And yes. I was like, all right, I do not know what a healthy relationship looks like. I have got to fix this. So what tips do you have for both men and women when it comes to communicating about money with your partner? Like, well, if you've got an issue and you're like, or maybe the issue is you just haven't been communicating.
Probably that's it. Or every communication is a fight, and you've already set the precedent that if you talk about money, it's going to be a fight. I'm sure that as soon as they think about talking about money to their partner, they feel anxiety. Even if it's a good conversation, even if it's, hey, I paid off that credit card bill, because I know it's going to lead to a question. Well, what about the other one? There's an anxiety that has been instilled within us. But setting that context, like we talked about earlier, I would like to talk about money. I would like to change the way that we communicate when we talk about money. Having that forethought, having a preconceived idea of how you want to communicate about money, because I'm sure anybody listening to this that does have difficulty communicating about money would not like to have difficulty communicating about money.
Exactly.
So if you can have the pre-conversation about the conversation about money with your partner first and say, look, breathe. We're going to figure out talking about money and it's going to be fun. We're going to figure out how to make money fun. Do you want to do that? Yes. Okay. This is going to be uncomfortable. Are you ready? Yes. Okay. If you get angry, if I get angry, if we get angry, we're not leaving the relationship. This is something, and I want women especially to understand this. Your partner is terrified, more than likely, that you will leave him after a money conversation that didn't go well.
Mm.
So please have some, like, a depth of compassion for him if he gets uncomfortable during these conversations. Because part of the fear is that you're going to leave. So the setting of the context is super important. I'm not going anywhere. I love you. Let's do this.
No, that is so important. And I think so few people pre-plan important conversations.
Well, here's what happens. They pre-plan the conversation in their head. And they say, okay, I'm going to talk about this. And she's going to say that. And then I'm going to say this. And she's going to say that. And I'm going to... Now, if that doesn't happen, I'm going to say this, and then she's going to say that. How many times have we gone through an entire conversation in our head? 1,000 times. And then just for it to go absolutely not at all like we'd planned. So we do think about the conversation. It never goes like we planned, because we get defensive and then just crazy stuff comes out of our mouth just to try and prevent the feeling of shame and guilt.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that is so good. Well, I'd love for you to tell us a bit about the Word of Man program that you offer and how you've seen it benefit the men who participate both in their relationships and with their finances.
What I love about this program is it's called the Word of Man because as men, the person that it's hardest to keep our word to is ourselves. It's so easy to keep a word to a boss. It's difficult, but easier to keep our word to our partners than it is to ourselves. But when we start keeping our word to ourselves, that's a game changer. Because what we say is, my relationship is the most important part. My wife, my kids are the most important thing in my life. Yet, we put our jobs ahead of them. And to a man, the men that I've worked with, when they've put their relationship first, their finances have improved dramatically and fairly quickly.
That's pretty awesome.
Even though they feel like they're sacrificing at work. And even if you think about it, it's like there's no way this makes any logical sense. And it doesn't. For some reason, it's not a linear thinking. If I put more focus and attention on my relationship, my finances will improve. Well, how's that going to make sense? I mean, if I'm spending less time at work, it works. Because how much time at work do you spend worrying about your relationship? How much time at work are you showing up when your mind is somewhere else?
Yeah.
I'm stressed about money because I'm stressed about my relationship and money. I'm stressed about kids. I'm stressed about love. I'm stressed about this argument that we had about something else. I'm stressed about my in-laws coming over, whatever it is that you're stressed about. In your relationship, you bring with you to work and you are not showing up as your best self at work. So when you make sure your relationship is going perfectly first, then you can show up as your absolute 100% best self at work and you will see great return on investment there.
Yeah.
If you want to improve your finances, invest in your relationship.
I would 100% agree with that because, you know, the couples that come to me for coaching and they're all in, not just we want to fix the money, but we're going to fix this together. I get calls and emails from them years later saying, you know, this coaching, it changed my life. It made my marriage better because you helped us communicate better about money, and that translates into all areas. So what sort of men are usually drawn to working with you in this program? Like, if there's a man out there listening and he's like, yeah, I'd like a better marriage, I'd like to make more money, I don't know if this is for me or not.
Any man that isn't perfectly happy in their relationship, any man that is not perfectly happy in their finances. That's it. The things that I bring to the table work.
Mm-hmm.
If you're willing to do the work. But that's the kicker. If you come into my program expecting me to change you, don't bother. If you come into my program expecting you to change you with the things that I give you, bring it on. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's going to be really uncomfortable in your real life, not when you're talking to me. Maybe a few times I'll make you feel, you know, you might feel guilty. You might feel shameful. You might be like, oh, crap, I do that. Oh, no. I did that. But I'm not purposely going to make anyone feel bad. It just might happen when you recognize who you've been, which is fine. It's completely okay. But to come into, and I'll even say this for any coaching, any coaching that you go into, if you go in expecting the other person to change you or you to be changed without you doing anything, ain't gonna happen.
Yeah.
Not to say I'm a great investment, me.
Yeah. Well, what you said about your coaching, I'm like, I could literally say word for word the exact same thing about my financial coaching. It's going to be uncomfortable. I'm going to make it as fun as possible. You're going to have to do the work. I'm going to be right here with you while you're doing it, but it is up to you. So awesome. That's just it.
We're not going anywhere. We're going to be here we're going to keep doing this work. If you want to come on board and have a better relationship, if you want to come on board and have a better relationship with money and make more of it, bring it on. We're not going anywhere. We've got it figured.
Yeah. Well, and ladies, Kevin has launched the Word of Man for Women now that he's running concurrently with his live groups. I was in the first cohort, so very excited about that. And let me tell you, ladies, even though my husband was not in Kevin's program, the tools that I got to communicate with him have just elevated our relationship so much. And I can't say enough good things about the work that you are doing, Kevin. So thank you so much for being here. I'm sure you and I could probably talk for 3 hours, but unfortunately we don't have that much time. So maybe we come back for a part two at some point down the road. But this has truly been an amazing and enlightening conversation about men, money, and emotions. I know our audience is gained some amazing things. And I also know that Bill is dying to chime in.
I just want to say, as your producer, Christine, it's been a very uncomfortable show listening to you talk about me the entire time. So
sorry, Bill.
I mean, I might just come out and tell everybody that I'm the person they were talking about. I'm fascinated. First of all, I want to give a big giant amen to the notion of individual masculinity. I think that we collectively, men and women, have a singular definition of masculinity, and we get trapped in it. And I think that it's, if they heard nothing else, they need to hear that. And boy, the need to be right is like, wow. All jokes aside, I got uncomfortable sitting here going, oh man, yeah, that's right. Yeah. That was it. Yeah. Because it's true. It's just true. It's like, I wish you the best in what you're doing. I hope that people who are listening to this podcast think, oh, maybe I should check Kevin out. maybe I should go check that all out and reach out to him and find out, you know, the best way to maybe change myself.
And I felt that when you said it, I felt the truth in that statement.
Well, you know, it's really funny. I mean, I'm going to say something religious for a second, and you know, everybody's just going to have to cope, okay? But it's like, oftentimes, in my prayers at night, I find myself praying for someone and praying that they get changed. And one night I had an epiphany when I was like, I was praying and I thought, wait, maybe I should be praying about me and maybe the change that could happen in me and affect in me that could bring about a change. Mm-hmm. So thank you for coming on and talking about it. That's great.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Well, we've got all of Kevin's links in the show notes, so you guys can connect with him. Please connect with him on social media if you've got questions about his program, or if you want to ask me about my experience with his women's program. Happy to answer those questions. So that's all we have for you guys today. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, no, but it was a great one. It was great. Christine, I always ask you this, and I know it's in the show notes, but really quickly, what's the best way for folks who are listening to this who want to reach out to you to get a hold of you?
Yeah, the best way is on my website, which is my name, ChristineLucan.com, and I am on all the major social media platforms.
So that is easy. The other thing that's really easy that can happen here is if you're not a subscriber already, hit the follow button. It's amazing. You'll be subscribed to the podcast. You won't have to think about when did I hear this? How often does she put these episodes out? Because as a follower, as a subscriber, you will be automatically notified when a new edition drops. Until next time, I just want to thank you for taking the time to listen today and remind you on behalf of Christine and everyone that today is a great day. You can go out and make it a wonderful one or not. The choice is yours. Thank you so much for listening today. Until next time.
Thank you for listening to the Money is Emotional podcast. To get in touch, visit our website at www.christinelukin.com or drop us a line at hello@christinelukin.com. And don't forget to click the follow button to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Christine Lukin. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investing or tax advice. Always seek the advice of your advisor, tax professional, or other qualified financial professional with any questions you may have regarding your personal finances.